it is not Princess Leia, but whoever she is, she's fucking me up.
Some content may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome back to the podcast. We're in a basement.
We are. Wait.
We haven't recorded in so fucking long.
Okay.
That when I came down into the basement and tried to plug in our string lights, there was a literal spider web between my chair and the string lights.
Yeah, so there's a spider web behind him.
I'm leaving it there. But I'm bringing this up because...
I clean my house frequently, obviously. Well, come in this room all the time.
It should be like once a week, but it's been a couple. And I moved the seatbelt that we buckle every episode, and a fucking bug crawled out across the table.
Where did it go? Era.
Under the dinosaur? I don't know. It's gone.
You just let a loose bug go?
I'm sorry.
I haven't even been able to take a rip yet. I was going to take a rip before you started. And so was Annabelle.
Yeah.
And you just decided it was time.
I had a lot of thoughts, and they were all boiling up. Have you ever made macaroni?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
You know when you don't put the spoon on top of the bowl and it just kind of boils over? That was all the things going on in my brain.
Yeah. Now there's a bug loose.
Was a bug loose before.
Well, now I'm itchy. In the seat
now box. She is itchy, and she's over there.
Yeah.
Bugs make her so nervous, dude.
Bugs make me itch.
Every time there's a spider.
It was Bugs Bunny. I'm sorry. It was a bunny.
Thank God. I'm still itchy.
Every time there's a spider in my room, I get the laser pointer and get the cat's attention, and then I just point it at the,
that's so clever.
At the spider.
A little snack.
Sometimes I...
Snackle box.
I just hold the cat up to it.
That's perfect.
It works. You want to know something fucking crazy? And I don't know if I've said this before on this podcast or not, but I'm really thinking. The worms are really working, man. And I had this moment because I am an avid fan of the popular Travel Channel show Ghost Adventures.
Uh-huh.
Starring Zach Bagans. The most ridiculous fucking man in the entire world, right? So I would like watch Ghost Adventures and be like, holy shit, ghosts are real. And then as I started getting older, I started being like, no, ghosts aren't real because God isn't real because what? You know? Because to say that ghosts are real insinuates that there is some sort of afterlife, but also a different kind of afterlife, you know what I mean? Because the whole thing about ghosts comes from religion.
Yeah.
And like...
Well, okay. Mm.
I mean, if you really think about it.
Okay.
The Holy Ghost.
Here's my 2 cents. You can have ghosts without religion. Because religion is like organized, like we write down, we document stuff we know, right?
Yeah.
But supernatural can exist without religion.
Skinwalkers.
Because we can say, we can say we don't know what the fuck is happening.
Yeah.
But we know there's something out there.
Yeah. But my whole thing about Ghost Adventures... not to get totally unserious, but my whole thing about Ghost Adventures is that they're always doing, like, some sort of fucking religious shit. And that's the craziest part to me, is they, like... Zach Bagans literally has, like, a tattoo of a cross on his back, right? And he... He's just the most... I'm gonna do a fucking episode on him, I swear to God. He's the most insane man in the entire world. I don't care what anybody says. But I remember having this moment where I was like, okay, if I believe in, like, spirit, like, mediums and, like, ghosts and shit, does that mean that, like, I actually believe in God? That was, like, 19-year-old Sierra. And then I went, no, Sierra, that's stupid. So that's my opinion on ghosts.
This is too far.
I don't know where we are. I don't know how we got here. We're back. Welcome back. If you hear any growling in the background, it's Pancake. She's in her crate because if I kick her out of the podcast room for being a dick, she pisses on the floor in front of the front door. And if we leave her in here, she just sits here and licks me constantly.
Sierra's not a popsicle.
And
I might be, but I don't like
it. She just needs to get used to being in her crate again. She's kind of un-crate trained. She's untrained at this point. I've completely fell apart with my training.
She's like, actually, mommy's not having sex. Why am I in here?
Yeah, exactly. Like, she's pouting so hard. She's so mad at me. I don't care.
There's literally bugs running around.
Okay.
There's a spider web on my chair.
Stop talking about it.
Yeah, it's making her itchy. You're
oh, yeah, sorry. Itch. Well, I got there something that will make you itch even more.
Ooh, ooh, back ooh, up. Ooh, ooh. Ew, why? Wait, why is it going to make me itch?
You'll find out.
Okay. Ooh. Ready? Blast off.
Blast off. It's April 1819.
1819.
1819. I thought 19, that when I typed it 19. Out, but I was like, ah, I don't think that's funny. 1819. We're in Naples, Italy.
Ooh, I've always wanted to go to Italy this time of year, bitch.
Yes, bitch.
Are you fucking kidding me?
We're talking about a wealthy British couple. Yeah. Wealthy British couple, William Nightingale and Frances Fanny was her nickname, Smith. And they're on their 3-year tour of Italy.
They're just rich and touring?
Yep.
That's just...
And side note, because Nightingale, that's a fucking bizarre name, right? So William, daddy-o over here?
Yeah.
Was born William Edward Shore. His mom, Mary Evans, was the niece of a wealthy miner, Peter Nightingale. When her uncle died, she inherited one of his estates and also decided to adopt the name and arms of Nightingale.
Okay, so, no,
nepotism,
wait.
Baby.
Let me draw this out, worm brain style. So there is a man. And he's filthy rich because his mom's uncle, so his great uncle, was some fucking rich dude and gave her a bunch of fucking money when he died. And so in respect or out of honor, whatever, she took the name.
Yeah, she literally.
And for some reason, he's now filthy rich too.
Well, because of.
Trickle down economics.
Yeah, exactly. That is literally the trickle down effect. It's called generational wealth, the trickle down effect. But literally, like, this isn't even relevant to the story. This is just why the guy's named Nightingale.
I'm having fun.
So, nepotism, baby, but twice.
Yeah.
Mom actually changed her last name when William was 21.
And, okay, we need to move on from these people. I hate them. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Exactly.
It's, like, what are we doing? What are you doing?
It's bad. Okay, so William and Francis. William and Fanny.
Yeah, okay.
Bill and Fanny. They bring a baby girl into the world in Naples.
Welcome, baby.
They name her Frances Parthenope, after the old Greek name for the city of Naples. So Parthenope was the name of the city before Naples was the name of the city.
What?
So they literally, they could have named the kid Naples, but they're like, that's ugly. Let's name her Parthenope.
Naples sounds like navels.
Yeah, that's true.
And right. Those are gross.
Unless they're oranges.
No.
Juicy.
Ooh. Juicy belly button. Can we stop talking about these people? Oh. The whole episode.
Sure.
Podcast is over. See you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in. Give us 5 stars. No, Annabelle is not our biggest hater. It's Sierra.
I hate this podcast so much. Oh, God, this episode. We're never going to get through it. Jesus Christ. All right. What was her name? Parthenope.
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 Or how I thought it was pronounced before I went to
Parthenope?
Google pronounce. Parthenope.
Leslie Parthenope.
Literally. So a year later, the family of three moves to Florence, Tuscany, Italy.
Okay.
They're living at Villa Columbia.
Okay.
Columbia?
Sounds good to
That's
me.
It's Italian. It's May.
We're not that kind of white. We're the other kind of white. We're the English learners.
The American.
We're the learners. American whites.
It's May. Just over a year after Parthenope was born.
Does she have a first name?
P-
Parthenope is her first name?
It's actually technically Frances Parthenope. Frances.
But she's a junior.
Yes, but I didn't want... We would get too caught up in her being a junior. And well, Parthenope I'm too confusing already. I'm too caught up
in Parthenope.
Okay, fine. Franny Jr. Franny and Jr. Mom and Dad move to Villa Columbia.
Okay.
It's May, just over a year after she was born. So she's one.
Mm-hmm.
And William and Frances bring another baby girl into the world.
Welcome, baby.
Welcome, baby. They name her Florence.
Parthenope.
Florence, because she was born in Florence.
Nice, good. Oh, my God. Okay, can I guess what this story is about?
Yes.
It is a 1899 version of John and Kate plus 8, but everywhere they go, they just name their kid after wherever they had the kid.
I wish they only had two kids. But good guess. Good guess.
All right. Fine.
They're just creative.
Yeah. Original. Yeah.
Original. A year later, in 1821, the family packs their bags and moves back to England. They raise their daughters at their multiple estates. One was in Embley, Hampshire, and the other was in Lea Hurst, Derbyshire. Lea Hurst was the same estate that William's mom inherited from her uncle.
These people again? Colin, yes. I don't want to talk about them, man.
Anyway,
oh
but
my God. Okay.
Thankfully, William designed and built a new home at Lea Hurst. So they're living in these two homes, these two estates.
Splitting their time.
Great.
One's for the summer and one's for the winter.
Uh-huh.
That's how rich people do it.
Yeah. Florence and Parthenope grew up in a house with fairly liberal ideas. Their maternal grandfather was a famous abolitionist, and their dad believed women should be educated just as much as men.
Yeah.
He homeschooled his two daughters, teaching them history, math, Italian, German, French, classical literature, and philosophy.
Yeah, period.
Mm-hmm. Parthenope was a good student, but Florence was gooder.
And you were the goodest.
Truly the star student of the class. From an early age, she was really freaking good at analyzing data. We'll come back to that.
It's 1819. What are we analyzing data for?
It's actually 1837, but data.
There's data in 1837?
Yes.
What?
Mostly like how many fire trucks you need to put out a fire and how much you have to pay for that fire truck. I don't know.
Was she wearing a wig?
Probably. Honestly, back then?
Yeah, probably.
Sheesh.
What the fuck?
Be quiet over there. No. We'll circle back to that.
We will. It's 1837. Good old Florence, good old Flo, started having out-of-pocket experiences.
Yeah?
She believed these were calls from God.
Oh, my God. You're throwing another one of these at me?
It's not as bad. From this point forward, she had a strong desire to devote her life to be in service of others.
Okay.
And she actually did this, so.
Good for her. You go, Flo.
Mm-hmm. You go, Flo. A year later, in 1838, when Florence is 18, the family goes on a tour of Europe.
What? Just, like, I can't believe people had leisure time, you know?
They're wealthy.
Yeah. Every day's vacation when you're fucking rich.
Her dad's mom's uncle was a wealthy miner.
I don't like it. I don't want it. I don't like thinking about it. I get the ick when I think about those people.
Yeah, right?
How fucking stupid wealthy they are.
So while they're in Paris on their tour, she meets Mary Clark, or Clarky, who is a host for the family.
Okay.
Clarky was from England.
How's it spelled?
C-L-C-L.
C-L-A-L.
So C-L-A-R-K-E or C-L-A-R-K-E-Y.
Oh.
So Clarky's her nickname, but Clark with an E, so she's probably Irish, maybe?
Yeah.
Who knows? But she's
okay.
From England.
Clarky. That's fun. That's a fun name.
She was said to be, quote, incapable of boring anyone. She didn't really care for her appearance in front of her guests, and she's recorded as having little respect for upper-class British women.
Yeah.
So, mom and pop.
Rich-ass bitches.
And these two girls are living in the home of this lady that really doesn't like rich British women.
Uh-oh, SpaghettiO. Wait, why did she let him live there then?
I don't know.
Money?
I do not know.
Well, if you hate rich people so much, why are you letting them stay in your house?
I don't know.
Inside job.
She was okay with them. Some reason.
She was poisoning them.
Maybe.
Slowly.
Yep. Clarke even said that if she was given the choice of being an upper-class woman or a galley slave, she would choose the freedom of the galleys.
I don't think that there's freedom involved in being a slave. But that's just my opinion.
This is also a middle-class, maybe middle-upper-class white woman talking about
being a slave. That's so good. Good for her, I guess. I don't know, like...
But the point is about feminism,
right.
Not about slavery here.
Yeah.
Like, she would rather not be a wealthy woman.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because then she has to follow all the decorum of, like, gotta like, get my face powdered at 8.
At least I don't have to wear a bra if I'm down.
Do you see what they do?
Working, you know?
Because she didn't like upper-class British women, Clarke mostly spent time with male intellectuals.
Period.
However... Something about little Florence was special enough for Clarke to make an exception.
Why?
Despite having a 27-year age gap, Clarke and Florence were close friends for 40 years. Their relationship was pretty special to Florence. Clarke was showing her that women could be equals to men, something that Mom had not shown her. You look confused.
I'm stuck on the math. What? I have no right to be. They were, there's a 27-year age gap.
Yeah.
If she was 18 and there was like a 27-year age gap.
Yeah, but they're friends for 40 years.
Right. She lived a long life for the 1800s.
But, okay, they could have met when she, let's see. They met in 1838 and Florence is 18. So 18 plus 27. So 45 to 85 was their...
Jeez.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's fucking cool.
Yeah.
The math just wasn't mathing for a second.
I get that. Yeah. It's a lot. And you wouldn't expect it for the early 1800s, mid 1800s.
Yeah.
So anyway, this lady is in her life from the time she's 18 and is showing her, hey, women can be something other than just an object in a home.
Yeah.
Not just the role of wife and mother. You can do other stuff.
Yes.
So, at this point, Florence believes women can be equals.
Yeah, good job for you, Florence.
Mm-hmm.
We're turning it around. We are turning around this rich white boat and we're sinking it.
Yeah, right.
Titanic style.
Mm-hmm. We're going back a couple years.
Okay.
When Florence is in her teens.
Right.
She did fall in love.
Ooh.
With a man named Richard Monckton Milnes.
Okay.
He was a politician and poet. Ah, what a great combination. After a 9-year courtship, Richard proposes.
9 years?
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Yeah.
Florence rejects him. She's like,
Could you fucking imagine? Could you imagine?
You're dating for nine years.
You know that this person is supposed to be with you. You get down on one knee. You propose and she says no. Mm-hmm. How dare you? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's so fucking
funny. And her reason.
Yeah.
She said, you check my boxes romantically and intellectually, but you cannot satisfy my need to help other people. You remember she has this call to God?
Yeah.
If she... marries him, she's gonna have to be like housewife, whatever.
Barf.
And all she's doing is helping this rich man. Like, that's not what she wants to do with her life.
Yeah.
She wants to do something bigger. She wants to help the world.
Like Balloon Fest 86?
No. Absolutely fucking not. Throughout Florence's life, she'd always told her family she wanted to be a nurse. They'd always advised her against it. Despite this, she had always been helping ill and poor people in the village near her family's estate. They wanted her to be a good woman and become a wife and mother.
Mother. Bearing children. It's disgusting.
But in 1844, she finally did it. She announced she decided to enter the field of nursing.
Wow. Good for you, Flo.
Right?
Nurse
her
Flo.
Dad said it was her divine purpose, but Flo's mom and sister, they were pissed.
Yeah.
They were pissed.
You know what I'm imagining in my head every time we say Flo?
The Flo from the Progressive commercials?
and how she plays all of her family. Like, how she... Have you seen those commercials where she plays the member? Like,
no.
It's the same actress, and she's just in the immediate members of the family. Like, the sister and the dad and the mom and shit. Inflow's family, but it's all her.
It'll be on the blog.
It's so fucking funny. That's what I'm imagining with this family. That's it's just a bunch of flows.
They're all flow.
They're all flow.
All flow, no breaks.
They're all flow. All right, now what? Nursing.
Florence is getting into nursing. She started studying hard at Lutheran Hospital of Pasta.
Oh my god! Sorry, I didn't mean to pick the audience. We have to go! We have to go right now! The Lutheran Hospital Pasta.
Oh my god, I swear I'm dyslexic. The Lutheran Hospital of Pastor Fliedner in Kaiserswerth, Germany.
Jesus Christ. That was a mouthful, bitch. Yep. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You had to brace yourself for that one. He's like pushing himself back in his chair.
Lutheran Hospital in Germany. There we go.
Okay.
Yay.
Lutheran Hospital of Pasta.
So she's working at this pasta.
Yeah, the pasta factory.
And this is really breaking the social code.
Right.
A wealthy young lady.
Working.
Expected to marry a rich man, and you're working in a job that is considered like menial labor.
Work.
Excuse me. Is your family poor?
Lady not allowed to work.
What?
Lady no do working.
No, no, no.
Only men work.
Only men work.
Lady make baby, then lady die. Lady leave me alone the entire time. Man hate lady. But man also love lady in a different weird way.
This week on the podcast, we explain misogyny.
Yeah, I love misogyny. Misogyny wood.
On my pasta.
Misogyny wood.
Misogyny wood.
It's a nice dark misogyny. Oh, yeah, the dining table. Oh, yeah, it comes in oak, pine, cherry, and misogyny. Okay, anyways. No lady worky.
No lady worky. It's now 1847. Florence has been traveling, learning, and traveling, and learning.
Ooh, we love a good T&L.
In Rome, she meets Sidney Herbert, a former secretary at war for Britain. Sidney is on his honeymoon with his wife.
Sidney's a boy.
Yes, Sidney man. Yes, Sidney man.
He's a Sidney man.
I talk right now because I come from the underground.
Knife. Murder.
So he's actually British, but British secretary at war. I don't know why people listen to us. This is insane.
You're gonna have to cut all of this out, dude.
Just delete the episode.
Delete it while we're recording.
How much longer is this story?
I don't know. We're about to get into the meat of it.
Okay, Sydney. Sydney Harbour.
Yep.
Man.
In man Rome. Sydney. Yep. Kay. On a honeymoon with his wife.
Okay.
They all become friends, and Flo actually becomes... I can't say Flo anymore. You ruined it for me.
Okay, Florence.
And Florence actually becomes a key advisor for Sydney during his political career.
Oh!
Yeah, cool, right?
We love a woman in politics, unless it's Nancy Pelosi and she's... insider trading in the stock market, but that's fine. We won't talk about it.
Not what we came here for today, folks.
A woman in politics. We love them.
Yep. During her travels, she has a couple more callings to God.
Oh, yeah.
And she starts writing a lot. By 1850, Nightingale had returned to England, now in London, and she took a job at a hospital. A hospital.
Pastatable.
Yep. She impresses her employer so much that within a year, she's promoted all the way up to superintendent.
Of the hospital?
Of the hospital.
The pasta hospital?
Yeah.
The same one she started at?
No.
Oh.
This one's in England, not
Germany. Oh, got it. Sorry.
But during her time there, the hospital experiences a major cholera outbreak.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And the conditions at the hospital were pretty unsanitary, so it spread fast.
Yeah.
Florence took on this mission, implementing new hygiene practices. Her hard work significantly reduced the death rate.
We love a new hygiene practice!
She's like, wash those hands. They're like, uh-huh. Suddenly, less what? People got...
wash my hands?
I know!
How?
Crazy idea. But that was a crazy idea in the 1850s. Like, washing hands?
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Not Why standard practice. Why would I do
I've
that?
I've been sticking my hand in my mouth every day for the past 10 years. I've been
licking my keyboard. What are you talking about?
Ew. All right.
Meanwhile, in 1853, the British Empire and the Russian Empire are fighting over control of the Ottoman Empire. The Crimean War breaks out. By 1854, at least 18,000 British soldiers had been admitted into military hospitals.
18,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah. There were no female nurses. In the past, female nurses had left a bad reputation for the army, so the British were hesitant to hire women.
Why? Why did female nurses...
I don't know. I'm sure it was sexism. They're like, people are dying. It's probably the women.
Call in 2024. What did you say? I forgot.
It's not 2024.
You're running for president. I'm running for president. 2024.
People are dying. It's probably the women.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep. Okay, but these military hospitals that are not hiring women, they're an absolute mess. Ill and injured soldiers were being neglected. The hospitals were understaffed, unsanitary, and pretty much inhumane.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that friend that was on his honeymoon?
Yeah.
Sydney Man Herbert.
Sydney Man Herbert, yeah.
Yeah. He's working as the Secretary of War again, and he gives Little Miss Florence Nightingale a little ring-a-ding-ding.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, can you organize a corps of nurses to come to Crimea? And she does.
Oh, period.
Florence organizes 34 nurses from various religions and sails with them to Crimea within days.
Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's already like a big feat. Just finding 34 nurses that can just drop their life.
And... Well, and then putting them all on a boat and hoping they don't die?
No.
Like, you're sailing to Crimea.
Yeah.
I don't even know where that is. Could not point it
Ottoman
out on
Empire.
A map. Ottoman Empire.
Ottoman Empire.
To be completely honest, Colin, as I always am, I don't think I know where the Ottoman Empire is.
Was. Do you know where Constantinople is?
No.
Okay.
Why would you ask me that?
Turkey.
I don't know where Turkey is.
Europe. You know what's so funny? I literally labeled this section, anybody have a mop?
Does anybody have a map? Because I'm...
Sierra, you have a college education.
That doesn't mean I know where stuff is. That is not what that means at all.
I think only Coloradans learned geography.
I'm from Wisconsin.
I know.
Oh, that's right.
I know nothing about geography.
Because they only told her about California.
That's it. It was so big. We had to learn so much. It's a huge ass state, man. Like.
They just didn't teach him anything
else. Yeah, I literally didn't learn it. This is the education. All right, now I'm up on the soapbox about education systems, man. Because now I feel like an idiot on the internet. Because I don't know where the Ottoman Empire was.
It doesn't matter. The thing is, if you know where Constantinople is, which is present-day Turkey, which is Istanbul.
Wisconsin.
Turkey.
Yes.
Then you would know where the Ottoman Empire is. Ish. We're just talking generic. Middle East-ish. Anyway.
My brain.
Do you know where Egypt is?
Yes, I know where Egypt is.
Kind of near there.
Okay. Sounds good.
But in
But
Eurasia.
Like uppies?
Yes.
That
Across
way.
Across the river a little bit.
The river.
I think it's a strait. Who knows?
I'm pretty sure it's the ocean, is it not?
Is it an ocean? Is it a sea?
It doesn't matter.
Anyway. Turkey. When the nurses arrived at Scutari, which was the British hospital in Constantinople, it was a fucking disaster.
Well, yeah.
It wasn't even a hospital.
Yeah.
It was old Turkish barracks that had been adopted as a hospital.
Damn.
The hospital, in quotes. This is literally pasta. They're living in pasta. It's an impasta hospital.
Literally, pasta would be better than this.
Literally.
We can build walls out of spaghetti boxes. We'll be fine.
Exactly. So the hospital was literally on top of a cesspool, which was contaminating the water in the building. There were bugs and rodents, and there were patients sitting in their own poop, laying on stretchers in the hallways.
Sounds about right.
There were practically no supplies. There was little food. There was no equipment to process food. It was so bad, they had to ration the contaminated water. Like, oh, you're thirsty? Want some of this jungle juice?
Dude,
you're going to have to wait. It's dude, not your jungle juice day.
You have to take a mat shot. That's what that is. It's a mat shot, but just from everyone's butts. Everyone put their butt on the mat. Now you have to take a shot out of it. Barfy.
So gross.
Oh, you would not do well. You would not do well in healthcare, baby. It's not for you. Dude, I find like old, I hate saying that it's fascinating, but just how we really didn't know shit back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know that sitting in our own shit and drinking water that came from our shit isn't good for us, but we don't know any better how to stop it.
Well, but the other thing is,
what?
I'm going to say one thing first, and then I'll say my hot take, which isn't actually that hot. First of all,
it's warm.
They were understaffed.
Well, yeah.
So, like, even if they're sitting in their shit, it's like, okay, I'll deal with you tomorrow. You're number four. It's like the DMV. They probably had, like, one of those number ticket things, and they were just giving people tickets and calling people to the front. But nobody ever came to the desk because they're on stretchers in their own shit. Anyway, second point, there were no women there. It was all men.
Mm-hmm.
And all the men
love to sit in their own shit.
I don't know.
And eat it.
I don't know. Point being, little old Florence rolls up and the existing army doctors were like, excuse me, like, woman's not gonna help me. Like,
no woman, no helping
are
me.
Are you criticizing my work? We're doing great here.
We're fine. We're doing good.
Conditions are so bad, most of the soldiers there are dying from being at the hospital from typhoid or cholera rather than being injured in the war.
Not typhoid.
Literally, you're getting sick at the hospital and dying from being sick rather than having your arm just blown off in war.
Yeah. Old ass hospitals, man. 1800s-esque hospitals, they were crazy.
Yeah.
Working conditions in them. You didn't go there to get healthy. You went there to die.
Yeah.
Or get sick and die. Like.
Yeah. Meh. So these army doctors are like, no, you can't help.
Yeah, no. No woman, no helpy.
No woman, no helpy.
No woman, no help.
Then more injured soldiers arrived. And they're like, okay, you can help now.
We got overwhelmed.
So Flo gets to work.
Get to it, Flo.
Mm-hmm. She procures hundreds of scrub brushes and starts having the least injured patient scrub the hospital from floor to ceiling. Every waking moment, Flo is caring for soldiers. They gave her the nickname the Angel of Crimea. When it was nighttime and there was no light, because they don't have electricity, she would move through the dark hallways with a lamp while tending to soldiers. And because of this, she got her even more well-known nickname, the Lady with the Lamp.
I don't know that nickname either. The Angel of Crimea sounds a little more familiar to me for some unknown reason. Maybe I just like it more.
I like the Lady with the Lamp more.
The Lady with the Lamp's here.
She had a lamp.
She did. They said, hey, that lady, she's got a lamp.
I mean, literally, she's just walking.
They couldn't call her like the Night Angel of Light or some fucking shit like that.
Jesus too.
Lamp lady. Jesus too. The streets. Lamp lady. Lamp lady, lamp lady, lamp lady.
Yep. So Lady with the Lamp is also implementing hand washing.
Period.
Something not super commonly understood in the Victorian age.
Mm-hmm.
This reduced the death rate by 60%. But this was still nearly 5,000 soldiers that would die by the end of her first winter.
Yeah. There. Yeah. It's only so much you can do.
Yeah. But that's not good enough. Not good enough for Florence.
Oh.
No.
For Floor. We should just call her Floor. Good old Floor, man.
Yeah. Ooh-wee. So the sanitary commission was called in 6 months after Floor had arrived.
I'm surprised they had one of those.
Right. They flushed the sewers and increased ventilation. And Floor wrote into the Times asking for the government to send help. The government designed a prefabricated hospital built in England and shipped to Crimea.
What?
Yeah.
In the 1850s?
Yeah. Literally.
They're just shipping houses?
Little old Flo was
but
like.
But we don't know about washing hands. Riddle me that. Riddle me that, Colin. We can fucking build. No. All right. Now I'm mad. We can build an entire fucking hospital.
But we don't know what's at the bottom. It's the same thing as you can go to the moon, but you can't figure out when this volcano will fucking explode.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't. I'm sorry. I keep peeking the audio.
Me too.
You can build an entire fucking hospital, right? And you can put it on a boat and you can ship it to fucking Crimea, but you don't know how to wash your hands.
Have you ever seen Amish people move a barn? literally they just have like 300 people and they all go to the side of the barn and they all lift at the same time, and at that point, yes. I'm serious. Barns that aren't anchored into the ground,
yeah,
they literally just get like a couple hundred people, surround the barn, and they all lift the barn at the same time.
Do you think there's just one guy on one corner and there's like barely any people around him and he's like, fuck!
No, but that's the thing. Like, if you have 300 people lifting a barn, it's only like 100 pounds each.
300 people could wash their hands. That's what I'm stuck on. I don't care about the actual hospital being built or Amish people lifting barns. I'm mad because we had the science and the logic. We had the logic in our brains, Colin, to be able to say, ooh, they need a hospital and they need it now. Let's build one and then put it on a boat. But for some reason, you shit and you fucking wipe your ass and you say, I'm good. I think that's a bunch of bullshit.
But they don't have germ theory yet. They literally, okay. No, I'm serious. It's like they had contagion something, which was basically if you touch something, it's contaminated. Germs cannot spread through the air. It's only if you touch it.
They thought that?
Yes. That Jesus. Was contagion. And this is something that was believed after her. And she was rejected by a lot of medical experts at the time, mm-hmm. because she said that's not true. It mm-hmm. can also travel through the air.
Yeah.
And she rejected current ideas at the time.
Yeah.
But even though the contagion theory was there, it wasn't like widespreadly known that you should wash your hands.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that she implemented were because she knew how germs work on surfaces and she knew this theory. And she was like, well, shit, we should just fucking wash our hands. Like,
yeah, I think we should.
It was just simple, like, A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
And she was doing all of that math.
Yeah.
On small scale and not making a big deal out of it because she's humble as fuck. But like.
Meanwhile, the other guys aren't even trying to solve the problem.
Right.
They're just like, well, oh, there's more guys with no arms that just came in from the war.
I guess you can help.
Toss them in the no arm room. That's how they separate the rooms. Really? Missing body parts.
Are you serious?
No! Oh.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, old timey hospitals, they separated their rooms by who was missing what body part. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you all have dysentery? All right.
Great.
Floor three, please.
They didn't know what quarantine was.
No, God, no.
But, okay, let's get back to the whole thing about shipping a fucking hospital.
I'm sorry.
Because
I'm just.
It's not about the hospital. It's about her saying, hey, this is in a cesspool, and even though we have increased ventilation, we need something better.
Right.
So they shipped her a fucking hospital.
They said, here you go, queen. have a hospital.
Yeah, you've already reduced the death rate by 60% fucking being there.
Period.
Anyway, this new hospital, Kiyoi Hospital.
Sounds good.
Was constructed. And this facility helped reduce the death rate from 42% to 2%.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. While she was there...
What kind of fucking hospital did they send her?
Something that wasn't on a cesspool.
Oh. So when you say cesspool, I've never heard someone...
I haven't either.
Okay.
And I'm just interpreting it as, like, literal just shit. They don't have plumbing.
So what...
So you're shitting and it's just water and...
So what I'm assuming it is, because I've never heard the word cesspool used in an actual, like, noun way. I've only heard it as an adjective, descriptor way, mm-hmm. right? So what I think a cesspool is, I know you're Googling it, and I'm going to guess first.
Uh-huh.
I think that it is some sort of land that doesn't have any drainage.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like sunken into itself. And then people are just like pissing and shitting everywhere, and it's all just sinking in to the middle. But it's not a sinkhole. I have a different theory about
sinkholes. So a cesspool is basically the same thing as a septic tank.
But ickier.
But the deal is there's no tank. It's not intentional. It's just like, oops, we're all shitting here. But that's how streets used to be.
Yeah.
Before plumbing.
Yeah.
It's like, go shit in the street. Or you have your poop chute out your house.
Poop chute.
Yeah. Castles have them. I don't know if houses have them.
Pennsylvania poop chute 1,000. Sorry.
Great.
Oh okay. My God. I bet castles had the bougiest fucking poop chutes. I'm sorry.
Can you imagine celebrities back in the day? You could just collect their poop. You just go find their poop chute.
Where it empties out.
Yes.
Why would you want to do that, Colin?
Because people are obsessed.
Were people really doing that back then when they had poop chutes?
I don't think so. I doubt it.
Poop chutes.
I'm sure somebody was. People were weird.
And that's true. There's probably poop from the 1800s in someone's house.
What's his bucket?
Unknown or known.
Exists still. Yeah.
What was his name? Napoleon.
Yeah. Dynamite.
His wiener.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Well, she's at this hospital. Florence also increased the living conditions in general. She created a, quote, invalid's kitchen where food for patients with specific dietary needs was cooked. Don't like the name, but I do like the idea. Foods. She's like, you gluten-free? We can make you gluten-free food here.
Really?
She's like, no.
They do
no.
keto?
I'm sure. Absolutely. So they have a kitchen for you to cook your food that isn't like normal people food where it has all these other allergens.
Hmm.
So she's already like... This shit fucks you up. I'm gonna make you something special. And I'm gonna make it on its own surface so you don't get sick because it touched bread.
Mm.
Wow. Invalid's kitchen.
Wow.
Because your diet is invalid.
Invalid's?
Yes.
Oh, yikes.
Kind of gross, but.
Yeah. Invalid. Your dietary needs, invalid.
She also created a laundry. I don't know how they didn't have a laundry before that, but go off.
Well, because they were shitting in the laundry.
A library. I don't know where she got books, but she found them in a classroom.
Scraped all the
basically
off.
She was like, I don't want all these fucking people here to be just bored out of their gourd.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start collecting books and put them in a room and have a classroom. I don't know if anyone taught in the classroom, but there was a classroom.
Okay. Would she teach driver's ed? Shop. Metal shop.
Home ec.
Yeah.
This is how you sew.
Yeah.
During this time, she wrote an 830-page report on her work and proposed reforms for other military hospitals with poor conditions. When the war ended in the summer of 1856, Florence returned to her childhood home, where she was met with a hero's welcome.
I have a question.
Yes.
Were they worried about other hospitals, too, or just military hospitals?
Hospitals with poor conditions.
Okay, I mean, good.
Basically, her report was like, if
this
you have
to- shit's fucked. Come fix.
No. Like, oh. If you have to set up a field hospital, this is how to do it right.
Mm. She was doing a little field nurse Bible.
Yep.
That's what she was writing.
830 pages of it.
Yep.
Yep. Anyway, she goes home and everybody's like, yay, hero.
Ooh.
Yay.
Yay.
She was humble, though, and wouldn't take credit for saving so many lives or for decreasing the death rate. The queen rewarded Flo with an engraved brooch.
The queen?
The queen of England. Queen Victoria herself.
With a brooch.
With a brooch. Known as the Nightingale Jewel. And some money.
A brooch. She got jewelry.
Some money.
She got jewelry and some cash.
Uh-huh.
For literally saving thousands of people's lives.
Yeah. I'm sure she was paid overseas, too.
She fucking better be.
Yeah.
Compensated for your work. She was not quiet quitting.
Right. History.com says that, oh, also, I do want to note that her dad did give her an allowance for much of her life. No, but okay.
I know.
The deal was so that she, I'm not sure of the politics. My thought is when she was going through school, she wouldn't have to, like,
worry about
money.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that she's a woman, I mean, women still aren't paid fairly. So if we go back then, can we really expect that she's getting paid fairly? No.
No, because she got paid with a brooch.
And from some cash. And I want to talk about the cash because history.com says she was given $250,000. They used dollar sign for decreasing the death rate.
Wait.
Yes.
They don't use your dollars.
Your ticker is ticking as much as my ticker was ticking last night when I looked at this and I was like, this isn't right.
Don't talk about my ticker. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Is it like ingested for inflation?
I don't know. See, this is the thing. So I used the University of Wyoming's time money converter because I did not fucking understand this. And it, so it took pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed it was pounds.
Right.
And put it into dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And if she was given 250,000 pounds sterling in 1856, that would be just under $30 million today. But I don't think that's right. There's no way.
There's no way.
So, I don't know what kind of fucking math.
Queen Victoria gave her 250,000 roaches.
But history.com, no. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked.
Do better. You gotta say, like, original currency.
Adjusted for inflation.
Yeah. Like,
dollars.
This is meaningless.
Pounds, yen.
Say the times currency or whatever.
Notes.
So, I have no clue. And I didn't look into further. I probably could have found out.
Probably. You just looked at one source.
I just...
That was kind of iffy.
No, that was the only source that said anything about money that I looked at.
Oh. That you looked at.
Exactly. But my point is, history.com, get your shit together.
Yeah, no. Our real point is, Queen Victoria, you're a queen.
Victoria.
And you paid this girl in a brooch. I'm still mad about it, and I'm going to be mad about it forever. I think that is so fucking disrespectful.
It was, but it wasn't payment. It was an award. The queen wasn't paying her.
Oh.
The queen was like, thank you for doing this.
Hey, good job. Here's this shiny thing you can wear.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
Following the war, Florence also works with the queen to form the Royal Commission on the Health of the Army.
Okay.
She hired lead statisticians, to analyze army mortality rates. Which, you remember I told you she's really good
data
at...
Data analysis.
Yes, she's really good with data.
Yeah.
This is where this comes into play. So, these guys are hired to improve the health of the army.
Okay.
Bunch of statisticians. Okay. What they find is shocking.
What?
16,000 of the 18,000 deaths they analyzed from the previous war were from preventable diseases, not from war.
Yeah, because they were living in a shithole. Because hospitals were bad.
Yeah.
And so they were getting sick. And
8 out of 9.
And they're shocked by that? They're shocked by that?
4 out of 3? Is that right? No, I can't.
4 out of 3 people died in the war.
I was trying to reduce 8 out of 9 further.
Everybody and then an extra guy that has nothing to do with
it. I can't
it.
Do it. Mental math is not my forte.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Keep going.
Florence translated this data into a new visual format called a
pie chart.
A polar area diagram, now known as the Nightingale Rose diagram. This way of displaying data showed how their work in Crimea had decreased the death rate, and it made the super complex data accessible to all, not just the statisticians. It's also worth it to note that most of the things that Florence published were written in a register that was easily understood by less educated people. And this was intentional. She intentionally wrote things so that her work was more accessible.
Yeah, so that the stupid people could understand. Guess
right,
where we're at now. Science is literally so fucking accessible. And learning how to read a graph and a chart is the most accessible thing in the world.
Right.
And people are just out there like, nah, fake news, tell you what.
But how fucking cool.
Yeah.
She told people to wash their hands and they started fucking washing their hands. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back to fucking Britain and she's like, oh, Data, look at this new chart I just fucking designed.
Ooh. Hey, look, this is called a chart. Ooh. Ooh. She's got a laser pointer somehow. She's showing people how it works. Good for her.
You're right.
Good for her. Right. And I respect her for dumbing it down. You know?
Yeah.
Make it simple for the normies. For the uneducated.
But I mean, the other thing is like making things accessible to women that are studying this.
Mm-hmm.
And not just the men that have the college degree.
Mm-hmm.
If you're creating stuff about nursing,
mm-hmm.
that's going to allow more women to be successful in the field. If it's something as simple as, like, this is how you wipe the bum, you don't have to use fucking scientific jargon to say that.
Yeah. How I'm do you think we train people
at? Wrote about wiping bums.
Undisclosedlocation.com.
You show them, probably.
We do. Training videos.
Yay.
How to wipe ass. 101. Chapter 1. Oh, your ass is not wiped. Let's fix it. Literally.
Yay.
It's so fun. I respect her. And women. She is a woman. And women are so fucking smart. And men are so fucking stupid. All right? Men are literally the dumbest creatures on this fucking planet. The dumbest creatures. Like, I could
Amen.
Literally teach fuckhead turtle 6 more fucking tricks before I could get a man to call me back.
Retweet!
Or speak to me.
The hardest thing.
Speak to me like a normal human being.
Yeah.
I get talked down to and mansplained once a day at work by a man who works. I will not be naming names, but by a man who works there. Lisa knows who the fuck I'm talking about. And I literally want to throw hands with this grown man every single day. Every single day. Because he's just a stupid man. And he talks to me like I'm a stupid little girl. And I'm going to kill him one day. He's going to retire and I'm going to kill him.
It's like something that men are coded in our society to do. We're coded.
To explain?
To treat other humans like this.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh? And yeah, men are just
how
dicks.
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, bro. I know this podcast episode is about a lady, but men are really so fucking stupid and so fucking mean for what? You big macho man, you're so scary because you're angry and you talk down to women all the time. Grow the fuck up. Go. Man. Have you talked to your grandma recently? How's she doing? Would you talk to your fucking grandma like that? No, you wouldn't. So why are you fucking talking to some girl that you want to sleep with like she's an idiot?
Yeah, no kidding.
But don't also gaslight her. And make her think that she's the smartest person in the world. There's a line, all right?
There's a line. It's just...
Men are just like, so dumb, man. Just
be a good human?
Ugh. Nope, it doesn't matter.
It's such a problem.
It doesn't matter. It's all shit. We're all going to die in like 10 years. Nothing matters. Anyway.
After blowing the statisticians' minds,
yeah,
she became the first female member of the Royal Statistical Society and was even named an honorary member of the American Statistical Association.
Hang on.
Come again.
So she is a member of the RSS and the RSA?
No.
Royal Statistical Society?
In the ASA. The RSS and the ASA.
Analytical Statistical
American
Statistical
Association.
Analytical.
They intentionally didn't say American Statistical Society.
American Statistical America.
Association.
ASS. Dude, Annabelle, Sam, and I.
It's all worms. Sierra's become a worm. Jesus Christ.
Annabelle, Sam, and I, our initials spell ass. And we have not used that joke once. It makes me mad.
You just did.
Ass.
You didn't know how many people laughed?
I hate you so much. You. looked me dead in the eyes and did not blink. Did not blink. You're a fucking asshole, man. Keep telling your fucking story. God damn it.
ASA. RSS.
Yeah.
Following year. Flo.
Oh, she works for ASA. Got it.
Great. Flo funds the establishment of St. Thomas's Hospital with money from the Nightingale Fund, mm-hmm. a fund that was established to recognize Florence's work in the war. Within the school, she creates the Nightingale Training School for Nurses. So she creates this hospital, St. Thomas's Hospital, and she creates the school within it, Nightingale Training School for Nurses. She also wrote a book in 1859 called Notes on Nursing. It was the curriculum for the Nightingale School and many other schools at the time. It also sold well to the general public and is considered a classic in nursing literature.
Hell yeah.
Through the rest of her life, she was a mentor to a lot of people, including Linda Richards, America's first nurse, female nurse. Florence continued to publish books on nursing and was a consultant for field hospitals during the U.S. Civil War.
U.S. Civil War.
In 1908, King Edward awarded her the Merit of Honor, and on her 90th birthday in May 1910, mm-hmm. King George congratulated her on making it to 90.
Yeah.
Right? But by August, her health had deteriorated.
No!
She had been sick on and off since her time in Crimea. While she was there, she had drank some spoiled milk and got something they were calling at the time Crimean fever.
Oh, Jesus.
Which lasted for 25 years after the war and resulted in her being sick in her bed for much of that time. So all that stuff I told you she was doing, just fucking publishing books.
She's just doing it on bed rest.
She's just like, I'm kind of sick. Ha ha ha. Coughs up one of her lungs and fucking...
I'm confused about this Kentucky. Whole spoiled milk thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you? Yes, I am, Colin. I'm confused. She drank some spoiled milk and she's sick 25 years later?
For 25 years. It was...
Do they know what she was actually sick with?
Yeah, it was something that started with B, but I...
Bubonic plague.
Let me find out right now.
TB. What does TB stand for?
Tuberculosis.
Tectonic blates.
Brucellosis.
Whoa.
Brucellosis. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Me neither. But that's what they were... Crimean fever is what she was suffering for 25 years.
Okay.
But at the time, they also labeled it syphilis. She was celibate for most of her life.
Yeah.
She probably did not have syphilis. She probably would have died if she had syphilis a lot earlier.
Yeah.
So...
Schubert had...
It was brucellosis, likely.
It's where everybody starts calling you Bruce and you don't like it.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Okay.
Anyway, it's August. She's ill again.
No.
On 2 p.m. on August 13th, 1910, she passed away in her sleep at her home in London.
Florence, what the hell, man?
Her wishes were to have a modest funeral.
Okay.
So when the royals of England said, hey, come bury her at Westminster Abbey.
Yeah.
They were like, uh-uh. So they buried her at a small churchyard near her family's estate with a memorial with only her initials and the dates of her birth and death. Despite her being such a profound figure for feminism, literally showing people that women can be nurses
mm-hmm.
and that wealthy women do not have to only be wives,
mm-hmm.
Florence was a huge critic of early women's rights activists. She saw lucrative medical positions being unfilled while these early feminists were upset about the alleged lack of career for women. She even said at one point, I have never found one woman who has altered her life by one iota for my opinions. For me or my opinions. So to me, it sounds like she was so removed from the majority of women's lives that she couldn't understand their struggle.
Yeah.
Or maybe she saw they were working in a direction that wouldn't ultimately be helpful to women. But regardless, she's looking at feminists of the time and being like, That's not what that is. No, just come work.
Come on, guys.
We got all these jobs.
Yeah, let's all go be nurses together.
Hello.
Nurse club.
I don't know. It's interesting because she, as a wealthy person, was willing to take a job at the bottom of the pyramid. And she's looking at wealthy women and they're not willing to do that. And she's saying, come on, why won't you do this?
Yeah, why don't you want to work?
I don't know. It's hard to kind of decipher what she's saying or what
I wonder believing. Where the flip is in history, where we're in the time in history now where anyone can be a nurse, male, female, they, them, doesn't matter, right? But back in like the, I don't know, 50s, 60s, male nurse, no. Ew. Male nurse, icky.
Yeah.
Why are you a male nurse? That's a girl's job. So I wonder where right. the flip happened.
I bet you it was
war. You know what I mean?
War. It's also like American it's always versus. The war. Yeah, but I bet you World War One.
Yeah. Ugh. Male doctors just make me want. Except for the male doctor that glued my finger back together. He was very nice.
Yeah. She's got a finger slit right now.
Sexy. Yeah.
Anyway. Regardless, just doing what she did was inspirational to women and culture surrounding feminism. Young girls would look up to her and see a woman absolutely succeeding in medicine and realize they could do that too.
Yeah.
So beyond all the things that she did for medicine of like saying we should fucking wash our hands and there should be sufficient ventilation and writing all these papers, creating these hospitals and these training schools, creating curriculum for these schools on how to properly run hospitals.
Yeah.
I mean, her impact comes all the way over to the US Civil War where she's recommending how to set up effective field hospitals. Yeah. Like, it's insane. This lady has probably saved hundreds of thousands of lives.
Yeah, that's why we have an overpopulation problem now.
It's her fault.
It's her fault. It's
stop washing your hands immediately. It's
Pantelope's fucking fault. That was her sister. It's fucking Florence's fault that we are overpopulated. I thought that her last name was Pantelope, but that was her
Parthenope.
Whatever, dude. Perthantelope. I don't know.
Anyway, but besides all the cool shit she did just as a woman, being just in the position person. She was,
to just
like looking up to that, that's incredible.
Yeah. I give thanks to Clarkie. I think Clarkie started it for her.
Yeah.
I think Clarkie was the catalyst, the cladalist.
Yeah. Well, she definitely helped a lot. I mean, before she met Clarkie, she wanted to be a nurse. But I don't know that she would have ever gone for it if she hadn't met Clarkie. And she probably
weren't
wouldn't
weren't they have... friends for like 40 years? I bet Clarkie was like, hey, you should do this.
Yeah.
You know. Clarkie and Florence was like, Clarkie, shut the fuck up.
Crimea.
And I'm just the lamp lady. Y'all need a lamp? I got one.
It's so funny because the illustrations of the lady with the lamp, half of them are with like a square-ish, like a lantern-style lamp.
Uh-huh.
And half of them are with, like, an Aladdin fucking genie lamp with the, like, end lit.
Like an oil lamp?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oil lamps were a thing. Grandma Clarabelle had a oil lamp that she gave to us. And that was my dad's mom. And when the power would go out, like, during, like, snowstorms and shit, light that shit up, it lit forever.
Forever. Wait, like an Aladdin lamp?
No, it was just like an oil lamp.
Yeah, so like an oil lamp, So half the illustrations are that, but half of them are with like an Aladdin lamp with the end lit. Which I guess is how they did it, but
I never... The genie's not going to come out of that thing, man.
It's like forest fire.
Robin Williams is staying in that fucking lamp because it's hot. He's not coming out.
He's boning.
Well, shit.
Any notes app
that thoughts? Was a wonderful little jaunt that you took me on. Annabelle, do we have anything new that we would feed to a young pilgrim boy?
Popping boba.
Oh, yeah. Popping boba. Or just boba in general. I want to give...
Is there a difference between popping and...
Yes.
Boba, if you just hear someone say boba, they're talking about tapioca pearls, like the black little balls.
Mm-hmm.
Popping boba or popping pearls, it's just like juice in little ball sacks.
And so they literally pop in your mouth.
Poppers.
They're delicious poppers. And juicy and wonderful.
I would give a little pilgrim boy poppers.
I don't even want you to give me boppers.
Well, you're not a little pilgrim boy, thankfully.
Thank God I'm not a little pilgrim boy, man.
Kids named Riot, but it's spelled R-H-Y-A-T-T. Riot.
R-H-Y-A-T-T. Riot. I'd kill it.
Yeah. Like, it's
and
the
then
new,
I would riot.
It's like
McKay's Kukui. And it's got like L-E-I.
And there's a G, whatever. Yeah, there's it's like that, except with like people that name their kids like Gunner and Rifle.
I hate that shit.
Riot. Literally, you're getting your name,
just,
your kid.
Like,
Riot.
Go back to basics.
He's a fucking riot.
Keep it white.
But not that white. Oh my God. John.
Jack. James.
Bible names.
Bible names.
Yeah, let's go back to Bible names.
Joseph. Jesus. What are other names in the Bible? I went to a concert the other night.
Yeah.
And Big Time Rush was there.
It was a Big Time Rush
concert. It was a Big Time Rush
concert.
And it was.
Oh, look who it is. It's Big Time Rush.
Oh my God. Big Time Rush is here.
Nobody told me they'd be here.
So the entire time, because I have to make up for Annabelle's birthday because I'm going to be gone on her actual birthday. So I took her to the Big Time Rush concert in Denver. And the entire time, the entire drive down, anytime anyone was speeding past me, I said, what, are you in a Big Time Rush? Because it's funny.
That's hysterical.
It was so bad. The concert was so bad, it was good. It sounded like they hadn't rehearsed the songs since they were on TV. Like, their newer songs and, like, a couple of the songs sounded really good. But then other songs sounded like complete fucking ass from where we were sitting. But then we saw, like, recordings of the same concert on, like, Twitter and stuff from, like, the front row. And it sounded great.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. What a big time time, you know?
What a big time time.
It was a big time time. I definitely have some Big Time Rush songs on my Spotify now.
Fuck
no,
yeah.
Shame.
I'm going to have to listen to them. I don't know that I know a single song.
You
I'm
know,
so sorry.
You have, looking for a boyfriend, I've seen him.
I recognize the melody, but not the words. Yep.
Right? Anyways, we have to go. We can't.
We do.
I'm in a Big Time Rush too. Stop. Now.
Thanks for tuning in this week.
Thank you for telling me about Florence. Love her.
And the machine. We should make a fucking Florence and the Machine joke.
No,
are you fucking serious?
We were too fixated on all the other stupid bullshit that happened at the beginning of this script.
Floor.
Dude, Floor was out here just flooring it, you know?
She's flooring it.
She was flooring it, man.
For Jesus. It was all in Jesus' name. Let's not forget that.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was her mission.
Oh, shit.
So, and that's kind of the reason that she didn't marry, or likely, too, and was celibate.
She was like a nun.
Yeah, basically.
Nurse nun. Floor.
Or she was gay.
Ooh, I like that one better.
Mm-hmm. Maybe all nuns are queer. Maybe
all nuns are gay.
That's the thing.
A-N-A-G. A-N-A-G. All nuns are gay.
Oh, man.
Anyways, thanks for listening. If you liked it, go leave a review. And if you didn't like it, I don't know, go find another episode. Maybe you'll like that one.
You probably will.
Pancake is pouting in her crate. Annabelle's falling
I'm
asleep sitting up.
Chair. It's been great.
Colin has his dick and balls out, so.
Do I?
Anyways.
You really scared me.
Thanks for listening.
Oh my God.
Bye. I got you.